It's lovely to be here on such a beautiful sunny day as well. Is that coming through the microphone now? Can everybody? Right. Okay. The first reading is taken from Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 23. Colossians 1, 13 to 23. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And the second reading is from John chapter 15, verses 12 to 17. It's John 15. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Thanks be to God for these readings.
Well, good morning. It's always wonderful to come here as a we also have a blessing, and it's wonderful that the sun is with us, perhaps at last, and not so much rain. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we praise you and bless you and thank you that you are our God, and this morning we come to worship you. Dear Lord, help us to worship you. Help us to have a revelation from your word, that, dear Lord, that perhaps if we've grown dull, or perhaps we're feeling a bit struggling this morning, that you would lift us up from who and what we are, and dear Lord, we would hear clearly into our hearts and souls and minds, that we would understand what you would have said to us here, amongst us here this morning. We praise you and bless you and thank you, God, that you have chosen us for a time such as this to be your people here right now, that you haven't left us bereft and on our own, but you have chosen us. Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you and bless you in Christ Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Thank you. So it's always a pleasure to come here. I bring blessings and greetings from Griffithstown Baptist Church, where I'm a member, and our pastor John Dickinson sends his regards to you. He's a new pastor. He only passed his exams and whatever last year, so he's new to us and he's new to the ministry. So he sends his blessings. I'm talking about a subject that us men, not too many men here, but us men will have difficulty this morning, and that's the word love. It substitutes perhaps the word love for us for power, but also friendship, but also a closeness that perhaps very rarely we feel as men. Sometimes we have a friendship very close to someone else. But of course the world loves to distort everything, but it's about the love of God and the love of Christ that it had for us as a people and still has and desires to draw us closer. But we have difficulty perhaps with this word. So men, please do not switch off, because this is just as much for us as for the ladies here and the children here this morning. But the love of God, the love of God. Do you know that you are loved? And if you do, then do you want to be? Do you want to be? It says this, for he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I wonder how many of you are in darkness here this morning. So easy to step into that, isn't it? Into times of darkness. And the Lord desires to give you light and life. And if you know that as a person, especially as you men, are you then able to take that life and that light into other people's darkness and say to those around you, look what God has done for me. Look at what Christ has done for me. Are you able to do that, I wonder? Do you really feel that you've been rescued, that you're living in the kingdom of God? And because of that, are you able to follow Christ's command? Love one another. Love one another. It's very easy to be antagonistic to one another, isn't it? Have this conflict going on, perhaps especially in family, especially in church, and with one another, when our God has loved us. Christ has sacrificed everything for us. I wonder if you feel that you're in a privileged position and that you belong to a church, a family of people who surround you with love and care. And if you know these things, does that then set you on fire? And then you go out and tell others about it to say, come and experience what I am experiencing. The love of God amongst each other and the people whom I have fellowship with. Or are you like a damp squid? And because of that, you do not know how to celebrate who and what you are in Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to love each other. And because of that, then he wants to love you. Are you allowing him to do this? Do you crave him? Do you want to know his love? To know the love of the one who created you, who formed you, who has kept you, who has given you life, a life which is safe and secure, who desires to give you a new revelation of who and what he is. Perhaps by the world's standards, you know sorrow. Perhaps you know torture of some sort or the other. Or perhaps loss of everything around you. It may be that to live in the world, you've prostituted your body, your mind, and feelings. It may be that you know despair. You see, the world understands that it needs love. The issue is that it rejects the love of God because the world doesn't understand him. Do you understand Christ this morning? It's wonderful to hear your notices as a church and the fact that you have Bible study going on. You know, to know Christ, to know God, we need to study him, especially in the love letters that he has prepared for us. I'm going to lift up your Bible a bit, don't mind, Chow. Which is called this book. We need to know this book so that we would understand him, so we could be drawn closer to him. It'd be wonderful if somebody had something about us, wouldn't it? The book of Chris. And he could open it up and say, this is why he thinks the way he does. This is why he's experienced the things that he does. But that God has given us that, to provide an understanding of him. You see, the world needs love. It understands this. The issue is that it rejects the love of God because the world doesn't understand him. The world, because it's bereft of love, then supplies individuals with guilt to wallow in. And has taught us that we're not good enough to receive any sort of love. I mean, why should Christ love us? Because the world does not. It says in God's word, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul yearns after you. Is your desire to know God like this? Do you feel that if he doesn't show up? I mean, we're going to come around the Lord's table in a short while. But you've come this morning and the name of Jesus has been lifted up. Christ is amongst us. Do you feel that? You say, amen, hallelujah, at this point, if you want. That God is here. God is here. I say when I preach, if God doesn't show up, you just receive an education. But if God is amongst us, we reveal revelation because he talks to your heart. He talks to your heart. And he desires to set you free. Free from this guilt that the world desires to give you. Rather, he says, receive my love and freedom. You know, I know you do wrong. I know you get yourself into trouble. But just take my hand and let me lift you out of that. You no longer have to feel guilty. You no longer have to wallow in the world of saying you're not good enough because I think you are. As the deer pants for the water, do you feel like that? Do you feel that if God doesn't show up that perhaps you'll die? That you'll cease to be, that you'll be bereft from any comfort and power that only he could bring? And then do you say, what's the point to my existence without him? Is your church experience enough? I don't know about you, but I know mine is not. You know, I'm dissatisfied with it. I am happy with it. Not in a negative sense, because you see, I'm knocking. I'm seeking. I scream to him. I cry. I get frustrated. I ask God for more. The living God, the one who created everything, the one who sacrificed himself. I say, I need more of him. I wonder if you do. You see, I need him more than I can say. I need him more than yesterday. I need him more than ever before, and I need him in my life. You know, it goes beyond this. I need him in my thoughts, my deeds, my actions, my personal and private lives, my corporate ministry, when I drive, when I sleep, when I'm walking, when I'm talking, every step that I take. Every word that comes out of my mouth, I need him inside of me, surrounding my words. I want him more. You know, I don't know about you, but perhaps I'm fed up with quarter and half measures. I need a new revelation of God. I need a new understanding of him. I need his love inside of me in power. Do you have a hunger for God like that? Is he inside of you like that? So that you might be an overcomer? And then you can point to Christ and say, look what Christ is doing in my life. Look at the things that he has given me. You know, I'm not trying to lay condemnation or conviction on you this morning. I'm trying to encourage you. You know, there's so much more that God would give you if you would be willing just to call out to him. Call out to him. You know, I want to receive from God everything he's prepared to give me and more. And this isn't a demand to him, rather it's a plea. For if he's not in my life, then how can I do the very things that he's required of me to do? How can I love someone else if his love is inside of me? You know, we beat ourselves up because it says, I give you this command to love one another. But if you haven't received the love of God in your life, how can you love someone else? And if you can't love yourself as he has loved you, then how can you love someone else? And this is what he desires to do in your life, so that you might receive this love, which is a power to overcome us men here, so that we are able to love. We are able to love. And provide love, whether it's in friendship, whether it's in companionship, whether it's with those whom we are around, and love. Because I know on times and occasions perhaps that we say, how on earth can I continue in this? But if we receive this love from God, he can help us to continue. Do you plead with God to ask him to come into your life in this way? Do you need God? Do you need his love? Do you need it poured into your life with great abundance, with purpose, with understanding and power and gentleness? The apostles, the leaders of the early church, knew of this need. Those who walked with God understood that without him, they were useless. They were completely inept. They were incapable of doing anything. And if they did accomplish something without him, it was pointless. For without his purpose and blessing upon it and guidance and loving care of the Lord Jesus Christ, they understood that everything would crumble and fade. Do the things that you do crumble and fade without God? And other things that I do. But with him, then they are sustained. They are grown. They're developed. And they are blossomed. And that has an impact on my life. Because then I can point to saying, look what God is doing. You know, we dare not distance ourselves from God. We dare not believe that we can manage without him. You know, it says in God's word that God builds his church. We can try. We can be available. We can provide our energy into these situations. But it is God who builds his church. Are you allowing him to build his church, or are you getting in the way with your busyness? We must never imagine that we can manage without his love and power. And never believe the lie that you don't deserve it, because you do. Because he has chosen you. He has chosen you. And he realizes that you are the Christ that people will ever see. While perhaps we may believe that we have enough of him, our attitudes and actions can keep him away from us. But we must never fail to understand of who and what he should be in our lives. For you see, he loves us, he wants us, he desires to empower us, for he created us, and we are his children. He sings songs of love above us, and he sends his kisses from heaven, and they're supposed to fall amongst his people. You know, we sing a song, this old song, yes, Jesus loves me. I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. I wonder if you believe that. I wonder if you have a desire for that love. Are you prepared to receive it from him? For you see, it never fails. It's always with us. It's precious. It's personal. It's powerful. It's full on. It contains passion and power for each one of us. I mean, do you receive that love? Do you accept that love? You know, there's times on occasion I say, Lord, I know it's a terrible thing to say, isn't it? But Lord, speak to the hand, because the soul doesn't want to know. Sometimes it can feel overwhelming because God wants to crash into our lives. What we need to do is just say, Lord, accept who and what I am, which you will. And just be with me. Allow me to be with you. And then allow me to work it so that you might use me in any way that you can. Do you receive the love of God in that way? Do you allow God into your life in that way? Because he desires to be in your life in that way. Are you prepared for his love? For you see, Christ is prepared for you. Are you ready for his love? For you see, Christ is ready for you. If you're insecure, if you do not believe in him, all that matters is that he believes in you. It does not matter what you've done. Jesus still wants you. It does not matter if you're angry and hateful or spiteful. Jesus still wants you. It doesn't matter if you fear him, for Jesus banishes all fear. And you know, he still wants you. You see, you have been made in the image of God, which means that you are precious to him. You're valuable. You're wonderful. You're wise. You have purpose. You're beautiful. You have meaning. You've been given a destiny which belongs to you, and he desires for you to fulfill it. A great price has been paid for you. For God of eternity has stretched out his arms, which we're soon to celebrate, and allowed himself to be sacrificed so that you would be safe and secure and know the one who created you, the one who cares for you, for he is madly, passionately, purposely, and sacrificially in love with you. the creator of the universe, this planet, this time and space, of the stars and seas and skies, of animals and plants, fish and birds, flowers and trees, wants to know you. For you must understand this, you've been created in his image. So his purpose is upon you. His grace desires to be in your life so that you might reflect his beauty and his desires to a hungry world that's desperate to know him. You know, let no one ever to say anything else about you. You know, your body may be crumbling. You may believe that you're awkward and incapable, that perhaps you have no confidence, that you feel that you're under persecution, that perhaps you've never achieved in your eyes or amounted to anything. You see, none of this matters, for Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that he has died for you, to set you free. This is what our Bible readings have taught us. And he desires to plant you within his kingdom so that you might receive the sunshine of his Son, that you might experience the Father and the Holy Spirit and gain a new destiny and purpose, so that the words that perhaps leave you would have power and impact upon this world. You know, let no one tell you anything different. Let no one else tell you. For you see, the Bible tells us and shows us. You see, the whole of creation has groaned for him to come. And he came. And it groans for him to return so that he may be replaced by his glory, and that he would come back for a holy bride. For that is who and what you are. See, as Christians, we know the waiting is over. We know that we have been found, that we have the freedom, that we have the opportunity to know the love of someone who is so passionate for us, that we're free from the curse of sin, our disobedience that once overshadowed us, that we've now been given a purpose which the world tried to destroy, that we now have a relationship that was once broken, that has now been mended. You know, somebody told me quite recently a very sad story, that while they had been around church all their lives, they've never perhaps had the excitement and knowledge of Christ in their life. They never received the buzz of those whom have been born again seem to have received. The thing that was missing was the gift that Christ gives us, and that's God's Holy Spirit. He who comes when we give ourselves to Christ. You see, his dwelling place should be inside of you, that he would come and fill you, that when you call out to him and say, come Holy Spirit, come into my life and transform me so that I might receive the living power of Christ. This morning, have you received the living power of Christ so that you know exactly of who and what he is, and that he's established himself in you? You know, God doesn't want you to do it on your own. God doesn't want you to beat yourself up. God wants to be in your life and provide you with the power so that you would know him, and that he can integrate into your life fully and completely and give you the power to overcome, so that his love and passion would come and transform your life, so that you would be free from the fear of death and sin. And then, of course, you're going to be excited about living, aren't you? Because you have an eternity with him. Death has no terror for you. You may fear the process of it, but terror of it has gone. For you have eternity with him. You have that eternal in your life. You know, we can't know eternity. We have to feel it, because it's too big. Our minds cannot comprehend it, but our hearts can experience it. This day then, are you going to leave this place with a mediocre relationship with God? Or is it going to be full on, full power, full of grace, ongoing with the one-on-one passionate and strong and purposeful God who desires to give you a wonderful experience of him, so that you would understand as we share together in this bread and wine that you have been forgiven and he desires to be so close to you that you couldn't even fit an atom in between you and him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your people here this morning. Perhaps some of them are feeling lackluster. Perhaps someone hasn't received this exciting experience of you. Perhaps some of them don't have a hunger for you. Perhaps some people hear, dear Lord, this morning saying, oh Lord, I need that new experience with you. Dear Lord, I would ask that you would provide them with a new awakening of the power of the Holy Spirit, that these people would be transformed, they would be healed, they would be encouraged, they would be uplifted, they would know the new love that you have for them, dear Lord. That they would become a holy people, a people with purpose and greatness upon their hearts, because they know a God who's so great, a God that just wipes away their disobedience and all the things that they've done wrong, because, you know, what he cares about is having that relationship with them, that they would reach out to him and say, Lord, forgive us, for we have done wrong. We repent of that, dear Lord, that you would come in and transform us so we can either restart our relationship with you, renew our relationship with you, or begin our relationship with you so that we might claim our destiny, claim our purpose. I thank you for your people, dear Lord. I thank you for their love. These people practice what you have said to them, dear Lord, love one another. And because of that, dear Lord, you will respond to them, as it says, ask me anything, and I will provide it for your lives in the name of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend a few moments of quiet with the Lord before we come round his table. Dear Lord, for your blessing, for your encouragement. And dear Lord, now as we move into this time of communion, that dear Lord, we offer ourselves up to you. We ask for your forgiveness and blessings. For without you, dear Lord, we are lost without your presence. Amen.